Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 10th day of April 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Jim Angel will be here at the end of our half hour time together to take a look at the weather forecast. He's with the Prairie Research Institute, Illinois State Water Survey, and serves as the state climatologist. And along the way, I'll update you on some of the agricultural news, along with Dave Dickey, who's your director of ag programming. And we'll discuss more about the cash grain market with Ben Pruce out at the Anderson's Everly, Iowa facility. And it all comes up on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. On this Friday afternoon, it was pretty narrow trading range for the day, about a nickel in the corn pit. In fact, May contract was down just a penny at $3.77, July at 384 3/4, down one, and September 392 1/2, down one. December futures 402 1/2, a penny lower for the day, and the March of next year at $4.12 3/4, down 1 cent. Soy complex finished 2 cents lower at $9.51 1/2, July at $9.56 2 1/4 lower, August at $9.55 down 2, September $9.46 3/4 3 1/4 lower, November beans down 2 3/4 at $9.42 1/2, January futures $9.48 1/2 down 3 cents for the day. Bean meal at $3.09 20, down $2.90 on the afternoon, and bean meal at $31.09, up 25 cents. Soft red May in the wheat pit at $5.26 1/2, up 7 3/4, and the July, the harvest month, at $5.24 6 1/2 higher. Kansas City July futures at $5.62 1/2 for the hard red, up 6 1/4 cents for the day. Live cattle futures finished the nearby contract at $158.80, down the $3 limit. In the April, the June at $148.65, $2.92 1/2 cents lower. Feeder cattle finished down $4.25 at $212.22 1/2 in the April. The May at $209.65, down $4 1/2 for the day. Lean hogs on the afternoon in the April contract up 40 cents at $62.50, in the May $71.80, $1.30 higher. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at Stewart-Peterson.com.
Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Sunny skies, a high of 63 degrees. It'll be breezy with a west wind at 22 to 24 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear at a low of 37. Breezy with a west-northwest wind at 15 to 20. And Saturday, sunny with a high near 63. Saturday night, clear and 43. And Sunday, a 30% chance of rainfall, some showers, few thunderstorms on Sunday. Partly sunny otherwise, a high of 66. Southwest winds then at 8 to 14, gusting to 21. And Sunday night, rainfall coming in mostly at 50%, and it'll be cloudy and 53 degrees. On Monday to start the work week, partly sunny and 67. Monday night, cloudy and 45. And on Tuesday, sunny skies and 63 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute.
How would you like this as your personal cell phone answering message?
Good agricultural day to you. This is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Jack is not here right now, but leave your name and number after the beep and he'll get back to you.
You can have that or another custom message on your cell phone from Dave by calling now at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of agricultural support. We'll randomly pick up to 5 winners, one for each day of our spring pledge drive.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
On this Friday afternoon, let's turn our attention now to the commodity markets directly. Mike Zuzulo joins us from Atchison, Kansas, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Thanks, Mike, for taking the time. It was a really light trading day, at least in trading range. Was it boring otherwise, or were there things that you were watching in detail?
It wasn't boring from a standpoint of how we needed to finish the week up technically, Todd, with the beans, even the corn, and even to a lesser degree the wheat and the currencies. And, you know, fortunately, the soybean contracts, both the May and the July, were able to get back up on a closing basis about a quarter penny better than their March 31st lows. And I think the trade was really eyeballing that because of the big break to the downside in the meal market in the aftermath of the crop report and in the aftermath of finding out that there's four fresh cases of the high path bird flu. And the AP is saying now we're at 13 cases totaling about 872,000 turkeys alone. So the numbers are starting to grow, and I think this was a big technical close for the soybeans as we finished out the week, because a close below that March 31st low would have opened the door up to maybe going all the way down below the 930, 925 area for the lead month beans. And even the corn, early in the day, May corn tested within a quarter penny its last week's low of 374 and was able to find some short covering thanks to the wheat, and that was very welcome news, I think, for the bulls, or at least the mild bulls and the technicals for chartists for the corn market.
The expectations then, beans and the bean products used for poultry would be restricted by the number of birds that would be left available. Do you know how, when we're talking about this number, the size of the flocks, really how much of the U.S. flock that might be and whether it makes that much of a difference?
It doesn't make a big difference in the actual amount of the flock, but it does show that it has not been controlled. And so I would put us in a situation similar to the last update from South Korea, that we are trying to get it under control, but so far have not been able to really stop the increase, and especially during migration season, it could continue to worsen. So I think it's definitely a scenario that takes away from mildly bullish news. And I think it also is a scenario where the USDA report this week, you really did need, I think, a Brazilian bean production cut like the ag attaché did last week. If the USDA would have done that on yesterday's report, I think that could have been a decent potential for short covering in the soy complex. But instead, what we got was no change in Brazil, an increase in Argentina, and then CONAB followed that up with this morning's update where they went up a million tons and came in at 94.2, 94.3 million tons, real close to USDA's number yesterday. So when you get those kind of numbers and you get something fresh like this on the bird flu, and then you have a dollar that, to me, has kind of hijacked this grain market, especially from a standpoint of the Corn Belt weather and the prospects of losing some acres here in the next couple of weeks. I think, you know, you need all the good information you can get if you can't get it out of the USDA report.
You know, for a couple of months, you've been talking about the corn and the soy complex looking a bit like 2010, at least on the charts. Are we still following that same pattern?
We really are. On April 13th of 2010, November 2010, beans closed at 945. Today's close was 942.5. A little less close in price for the December corn on that same date. December 2010 corn closed at 384.25. We're currently just above $4. But the trend for both is holding nicely, you know, high in January and a gradual slide into the May time period, and then a nice firm break to the upside, breaking through some key resistance levels in the mid to later part of June. And I think for me, Todd, you kind of hit it on the nose. That is the model year that I've been using. You're right. And the big question for me last week and again this week in light of these crop reports was, did we do anything fundamentally or technically to shift away from that 2010 model in terms of price pattern and the idea that we can get a mid-year major low put in place. And no, USDA report, we saw the building and supplies continue, even though we had some strong demand. Greece and the currency market, you can't go anywhere there yet because Greece went to Russia and actually suggested a new economic Cold War between Greece and Russia and the European countries. And then the planting weather problems that, you know, I hit on just a few seconds ago, that's kind of offset by NOAA coming out this week and saying you've got a 70% chance of a northern hemisphere El Nino, and that usually means ample summer moisture for the Corn Belt. So really the top three things that I was looking at still puts us in a 2010 model year.
Why the break in the cattle market?
I think a lot of it has to do with the cash trade never developing in a post-Easter market, and we were heavily bought in cattle and heavily sold in hogs once again going into the Easter holiday and the beginning of this week. And I want to say that as long as we don't do any more technical damage than we did today, that this was mostly spread unwinding, Todd, and that the feeder cattle especially were going to be coming into some of the lightest numbers that we've seen as far as feeders on feed and also market-ready cattle. And so I want to think that the cash market is going to surprise us positively next week and the following week and into the May time period because these numbers are shrinking at this stage. But it's certainly worth watching.
How about conditions on the ground in Atchison, Kansas? Producers beginning to move very much out there. You've been drier than we have.
We have. I think we would put ourselves, I would put ourselves very close to the same type of scenario as along the 36 in Illinois, you know, west of Decatur, that we are ready to go. I have sensed, though, that producers aren't eager to go. I did some hunting this week on some farm ground in the afternoons, and it's tacky, but you get a couple 80-degree days, and we stay relatively dry. If the system coming in Sunday is not that big, I think guys will start to move coming this week as far as getting some planting done. I don't think they're going to move very aggressively because their psychology and their mindset's pretty down right now.
Hey, I'm not a hunter. What's in season, and did you get anything?
Yeah, we did rabbit and squirrel. We did good on that. We went coyote hunting last night with a rabbit, an electronic rabbit call, and boy, was that fun. We didn't see anything, but we had a great time at one of the state parks out here, and it was a hoot. Supposedly, these coyotes come in within about 15 yards of you, and you have to shoot them with a shotgun, so it was pretty fun.
All right. Well, have fun. I'm glad you were out and about. I guess you had a howl as opposed to a hoot.
Hey, good luck with the fun drive. It starts next week.
Yeah, it starts tomorrow. In fact, starting today with us. So thanks so much. We appreciate it greatly.
You bet. Have a great weekend.
You too. That is, of course, Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas.
In agricultural news, President Barack Obama will visit the Panama Canal this weekend and stress the importance of trade to regional economic growth during the Summit of the Americas. Cuba is being allowed to attend the conference for the first time. There are expectations that the U.S. and Cuba could discuss progress toward restoring diplomatic relations and reopening embassies on the sidelines of the summit. The Indiana Farm Bureau's latest food survey shows higher retail prices for orange juice and three varieties of meat. The informal survey shows that the total cost of 16 food items was $52.40, up $1.22 or 2% compared to the survey last fall, and up more than $4 and more than 8% compared to the survey conducted this time last year. Brazil's crop agency today raised its forecast for the country's soy crop in the 2014-15 growing season to 94.3 million metric tons, up from 93.3 million metric tons last month. The harvest in the country's center-west region, which includes the state of Mato Grosso and produces most of Brazil's soybeans, is almost complete. CONAB also raised its forecast for the total corn harvest in 2014-15 to 79 million tons from 78.2 million tons in its March forecast. The National Climate Data Center says that the U.S. was the driest for January through March since 1988. California's year-to-date temperature of 53 degrees was 7.5 degrees above average and bested the previous record set just last year by 1.8 degrees. Cargill said Thursday that revenue fell 11% in the February quarter because of slowing growth in the food market and the impact of the stronger dollar. However, earnings for the agricultural conglomerate grew 33% for the fiscal third quarter, helped in part by a strength in the meat segment. Cargill said earnings rose 33% to $425 million, even as revenue slipped to $28.4 billion. Earnings for its animal feed and meat businesses improved, mostly because of growth in Australian beef processing, Central American poultry and U.S. pork and turkey processing. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is your Director of Agricultural Programming. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
You could be the talk of the elevator with your own personal cell phone answering message from Dave Dickey.
Good agricultural day to you. This is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Leave your message after the beep for George.
You can have that or another custom message on your cell phone from Dave by calling now at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of agricultural support. We'll randomly pick up to five winners, one for each day of our spring pledge drive.
If you follow politics at all, you'll know today in Latin America there will be an historic summit, an historic meeting, in fact, that hasn't taken place in more than 50 years. The president of the United States, Barack Obama, will sit down with Raul Castro of Cuba. If you follow agricultural politics, you'll know that agriculturalists have been working to open up the Cuban marketplace for quite some time over the last decade. In fact, the U.S. Grains Council recently traveled to that nation. Council Director of Global Strategies Kurt Schultz says the first purpose of their trip was to prepare for a joint council and National Corn Growers Association officers meeting that takes place in June. That will be a mission to Cuba. The second was to look past the U.S.-Cuba trade embargo and determine what the council can do to become engaged in the Cuban market to promote U.S. exports to Cuba and build future demand for U.S. coarse grains and co-products. Currently, Schultz says the U.S. has about 20% to 30% market share for corn in Cuba. As a result of the embargo, he says, Cuba is forced to purchase from U.S. competitors and currently supplies the majority of its needs from South America.
If the embargo is removed, we can assume immediately that we would capture almost 100% of that market share. It's about a 900,000 to a million ton corn market, which would be approximately our 12th largest market.
The Grains Council had the opportunity to meet with Cuba's Ministry of Agriculture, and Schultz says they were upfront about how the Cuban agricultural sector is decades behind the rest of the world.
They want to produce as much as they can and grow their agriculture sector. So there's certainly long-term potential for growth. There's a lot of constraints due to the lack of technology, due to a lot of small farmers. The average farm size may be somewhere around 10 to 13 hectares or 20 to 25 acres per farmer. They have a lot of people in agriculture, but there's some challenges in reaching out and helping all those farmers develop.
If the embargo ends, Schultz says there will be some obstacles in opening the Cuban market to U.S. coarse grains and co-products. For example, he says the Cuban government has expressed interest in having U.S. ag groups work with farmers to develop the ag industry, but a key challenge would be to clarify ownership and ensure investment for U.S. industry is safe. Adoption of technology, you know, that's also a challenge.
You have to go back to the capacity of the individual farmers to invest. How much investment incentive does a small farmer have when the government controls a lot of his production? Farmers produce on a quota basis. So much goes to the government and the surplus is theirs. So how do you incentivize those small farmers to change? Cuba is a population of 11 million people, roughly the size of New York City, but they don't have a lot of capital. So some of the early changes that they want to make as a government or as a society are going to be challenged by the lack of hard currency to bring those changes about.
Schultz says the U.S. Grains Council wants to see the embargo lifted and will work with domestic producer organizations to educate American farmers to support the removal of the embargo.
We're also going to be engaged in our ongoing discussions now with the Cuban government, helping them develop a strategic plan for their livestock sector. The strategic plan will help us as the council understand their priorities and their opportunities for expansion and where we can have some success in helping them develop certain sectors of their agricultural sector.
U.S. Grains Council hopes that will lead to a longer engagement with the Cuban people and government on agriculture development. Let's check now what's been happening in the cash grain market out at Everly, Iowa. Ben Proust joins us from the Andersons facility there this afternoon on a Friday. Thanks, Ben, for being with us. What's the weather like first, and have farmers scratched any earth?
Sure, yeah. It's a bright, sunny day here. It's a little cooler, about 50 degrees or so. We had some kind of sleety, snowy weather last night, but overall we got about an inch of rain, and guys have been scratching dirt a little bit, putting some anhydrous on, but obviously we've stopped all that, and nobody's really been in too big of a hurry yet.
How's your basis?
Soggy, to be honest with you. We thought after these last couple crop reports, kind of put some pressure on the corn and bean markets, and we thought we'd really see basis kind of firm to keep corn moving, but it appears the end users definitely have some coverage. We're 16 under here today in Everly, and I think we could sell by option prices as far as corn is concerned today.
And you expect it to weaken or get better as we get closer into the planting season?
Well, I think, moving forward here, at least the 30-day outlook, I would for sure expect it to firm up here just a little bit. The ethanol plants seem to have very limited ground piles. About half a month's grind is pretty typical. But we get last half April, and even more on last half May. Boy, it sure feels like we could really firm up here.
So things have changed, I think, a bit since the last time I spoke to you. It seemed to me you were getting some corn from further away than you had expected at that point, and maybe that stopped?
A little bit. I think it's just a logistics play. A lot of freight gets switched over to helping out with the agronomy season, and, maybe they're just kind of backing off on those sales, but we're still in constant communication. I mean, we always have our nose in the wind as far as looking to get more corn sold. But, there's just not a whole ton of interest today from the end user.
And finally, two things from you. What are your bids for the day?
Sure. We are 361 cash corn and 906 cash beans.
And then have you talked to producers, and what are their expectations about the planting season? Are they going to switch acres at all this year?
We have a few guys that are doing a little bit less corn on corn. This wasn't the right season for it last year, and they're going back to more of a 50-50 mix. I mean, it's not, maybe 10 or 15% of our guys are switching just a few acres here or there, but quite honestly, generally speaking, we're maintaining the same corn and bean rotation. And as far as planting is concerned, it feels like we're going to get started on time, going into nice mellow dirt. And we should be off to a good start.
Thanks so much, Ben. That, of course,
thanks.
Ben Proust from the Andersons, back in 2 minutes. Of course, the Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at WILLAG.org. A couple of other places that I think you should visit on a fairly regular basis include the FarmDoc Daily website. Each and every day, the Agricultural Economist update information there, and they have posted more than 1,000 articles since they began FarmDoc Daily. They do a really great job, and if you have not visited FarmDoc Daily at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu, now would be a great time to do that. Each and every Monday, an article is posted about the commodity markets. That comes from John Newton or Daryl Good or Chris Hurt, sometimes from Scott Irwin, and on Tuesdays, more often than not, Gary Schnitke will post something about farm management, and the rest of the crew upstairs take care of the other 3 days of the week. A brand new article always posted to the website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. One of the great places from University of Illinois and University of Illinois Extension that I think you should update yourself on, the other during the growing season, and you need to just sign up to have a text sent to you, is the Bulletin. That's at bulletin.ipm.illinois.edu. The weed scientist, entomologist, all the folks that take care of crop sciences update each and every, well, few days an article during the growing season.
Get Dave Dickey's patented broadcast opening on your cell phone.
Good agricultural day to you. This is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Jack is not here right now, but leave your name and number after the beep and he'll get back to you.
Pledge for agricultural programming and get in on the random drawing for a custom message from Dave on your cell phone. Go to our secure website now with your pledge of agricultural support, www.willpledge.org, and mention agriculture.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. The statewide average temperature for April so far is 7 degrees above average. Precipitation for April has been the heaviest in the south of Interstate 70, where 3 to 6 inches were common. Areas in central and northern Illinois have been not nearly as wet, with 1 to 3 inches so far. At least 2 tornadoes and 1 fatality were reported on April 9th in north-central Illinois, as severe weather, including high winds and hail up to 2 inches, occurred across the state. The 2 and 4-inch bare soil temperatures across the state ranges from the upper 40s in northern Illinois to the low 50s in central Illinois and the mid-50s in southern Illinois. According to the National Weather Service, temperatures on Saturday will be in the 60s across Illinois. Overnight lows will be in the 40s, while highs on Sunday will be in the 60s for northern and central Illinois and in the low 70s in far southern Illinois. That temperature pattern will remain throughout at least Thursday of next week. Lows will be in the 40s and 50s. There are chances of precipitation on Sunday and Monday, and again on Wednesday and Thursday as two systems move through the region. At this point, the chances of rain are fairly low, and the amounts are expected to be between 1/2 to 1 inches for the two systems combined. The outlook for week 2 is for colder than average temperatures and near average precipitation for Illinois. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, reminding you to visit our website. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between, live streamed and posted not long after it airs on our radio stations. One note, the times that you see at willag.org are the times that the programs are posted to the website, but not actually the times for the broadcast schedule. Look for the broadcast schedule link if you can listen to our home radio station or many of our affiliates. It's all at willag.org. That's willag.org. While you're there, make sure you listen to Commodity Week as well. It comes up on our home station on Friday afternoons, many of these radio stations over the weekend. This agricultural programming, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media right here from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.